Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Renee's Heart to Heart. Well, this is our second show since I took my little sabbatical. My life has been, I guess compared to many other people, kind of normal for the day. Coronavirus, the COVID-19, wasn't confusing enough, but then they had to give it two different names, so you never know what to call it, has got everybody in very strange places. We're not supposed to kind of co-mingle with other people. Being in the store, I feel like I'm in kindergarten again. I have to stand where the little feet are on the floor so I know where I'm supposed to be standing when I'm in line. And everybody wears a mask, something I didn't think I would ever do unless I was in a hospital room with somebody. And on top of that, there's the worry, the anxiety. The anxiety of knowing whether you're going to be okay, not going to be okay, if it's real, if it isn't real. I mean, when people say that to me, I'm like, honey, people are dying in the droves. It's real. There's conspiracy theorists that are out there saying, you know, that this was all political. This was just to make other people look bad. God, I hope not. I really hope that we are so much more mature than that and so much less evil than that. But do I know that for sure? No, I don't. No, I really don't. Which, which is kind of heartbreaking. And on top of all of that, we have to, you know, worry about who's telling us the truth. So where does that leave us? All these things happening and all these things putting us in these places of, I don't know. Well, like I said, anxiety, but over and above that, fear. And fear and anxiety lead to short tempers, lots of anger that is manifested by all these problems and no say in the matter. It's one thing when you know you have a problem. You walk home. Well, you walk in your house one night, and the kids have totally made a shambles of the house. The dog's dish is tipped over. There's dirty dishes in the sink. Everybody's flopped in front of the boob tube, and you just worked 8 or 9 hours, whether you're the mom or the dad. And frustrating. Makes you anxious, makes you angry. You're probably at the end of your tether after a long day, doing whatever you do to bring in a paycheck. But you're still in charge. You're still in charge. You can still say, everybody get up off the damn couch. Let's get this house straightened up. I'll start dinner. Joey, you go do the dishes so I can go get in the kitchen. Susie, you take the dogs out and take them for their walk. Jimmy, you pick up the dog's dish and give them fresh food. You've got control. You've got control. And control, at the end of the day, is the most important thing. Having control so that you can take care of the drama and the trauma that you're facing. Sadly, that's not what happens with something like this. So the people I've been talking to, I spent time on the phone with a friend today who is, you know, she's been a businesswoman. She's done many kinds of jobs. She's retired now. But just recently she hurt herself. And so hurting yourself right now or getting ill, other than the virus, is kind of scary. Because that means you got to go into the hospital with all these other people that are there for the virus. Geez, that's not too anxious. That's not too nerve-wracking, right? So she's like beside herself. She's hurt herself so that she really can't take care of herself. And she will get better. Things will mend. But right now, but for the help of people who are on their own, no big family to worry about passing things on, there's a lot of heroes out there. A lot of heroes. And a lot of people who really, really care and feel like because they don't have a bunch of other family or loved ones that out for, they put themselves on the line. Not to mention all the doctors and the nurses and the cleaning staff in the different hospitals. New York City, I've watched three things today that have brought me to tears on the television from nurses and a doctor in New York City. They're heartbroken. They're exhausted. They feel like they're doing everything within their power that they can do. The frustration is tremendous, tremendous. The inability to be able to fix anything by all the techniques that you've used forever, the antibiotics, the surgery, the oxygen, the CAT scan to tell us what's going on. None of those things are helping. None of those things are doing any good. So imagine their angst. Imagine their peace of mind gone. Now, I had made a phone call to a friend who's been on my show several times in the past, and he said some things to me that made me realize that he was struggling with some stuff. And I said, you know, he's very articulate. And I said, I would really like it if you could be on the show because I think you might help some people if they heard your plight and got an idea of what's going on with you. And sadly, he has not called in as yet. He did tell me that it was possible that he was going to have to get called in to work and kind of hoped that that wasn't going to happen to him. But it's very possible that it has. I'm going to text him and see what's going on and if he is going to be available, I hope. He just sent me something before I even got he forgot, and I didn't realize the time difference is so great. Let's see if he can call in now. And see if, because I think he will help some of you. Because he's going through some stuff himself. You know, we all have stuff, right? I mean, you know, there's always something that we've got going on. And I think it's possible that some of his drama might help us, might just help us. So let's see. He says, yes, he can call in now. So I'll wait for his number to come up. And And let's get him on here, because I think some of you he will have some answers for. It's hard because, I want to say to all of you, those of you who know me and those of you who kind of just know me from the show or know me very well, I'm always surrounded by people. Right now, where we live, there's all family. There's 12 of us that live here. Not in the one house, the main house where I live, there's quite a few of us. And then I have an apartment and I have an RV where people live. And we all get together on a regular basis, I mean daily. A good majority of those people eat here with us. So I'm never alone. And I also have a major blessing in my life right now. Is my granddaughter. She is my great-granddaughter. She's my son, Michael. The reason I started this show, his daughter, and she is just, you couldn't possibly stay upset, angry, nothing with her around, not on a bed. She is just the sweetest baby and happy and smiley. So she's a good reason for us to survive all of this. I'm going to try one more time to let Gary know the number to make sure that he's got it, because he said he could call in now. And so that's helping me a lot. That's helping me a real lot. And, of course, I have all kinds of young people that are here that keep me on my toes. You know, I have grandchildren that are in their early 20s and with girlfriends or boyfriends or whatever the case might be. And so I'm often immersed in some of that. So I guess the point I'd like to make if you kind of like just sweep this in a big pile in the middle of the floor and sort through it, staying busy, staying needed, helps with the anxiety. The more time you have to dwell on the stuff that's going on with you and only you, the deeper into that abyss you fall. Remember the old songs like, I'm going to go out and eat worms and things like that. There's a lot to be said for mind over matter. There's a lot to be said for lifting yourself up and getting yourself into a better place. And no two ways about it, now is not an easy time to do that. Now is definitely not an easy time to do that. However, is it doable? Yes, it is. Remembering all the other things that you've made it through before, all the other challenges that you've accepted and conquered, all the other mistakes you've made and still live through them, all the things that have happened to you through no fault of your own or through no effort of your own, that have been difficult to make it through, and you did. You did. So I don't think that not facing the truth is always such a bad thing. I don't think facing it is either, but I think dwelling on it and putting you in a place where, where you just can't shake it is not a good idea. So what do you do? I'm hoping Gary's calling, but I'm going to go ahead and move on. If he isn't, there's probably a good reason. We love you, Gary, and I hope everything is okay. So yesterday I was feeling a little bit like that, a little overwhelmed because I have other family things going on. Because, you know, just because this happened doesn't mean everything else got frozen in time so we can go back to it later, right? So what has happened is a lot of different things. A lot of different things are being manifested. He can't call. So, okay, no problem. I'm sorry that happened. I think everybody's kind of topsy-turvy. So that's all right. I can still talk about this with lots of experience, sadly. But when you know that you've recovered, when you know that you've survived, when you know that you've, you know, you've gotten through things that you really didn't see any light at the end of the tunnel, then, you know, you have to bring those up in your memory bank. You have to say to yourself, okay, this is nothing. What about the time I did this? And what about the time I did that? So what I do is I think about those times, and then I bring myself into myself and say, what really lightens your load, Rainey? Well, we all know I have a food addiction, so I can always eat. But that's gotten kind of old and certainly isn't good for me now that I'm 71 years old and have had a weight problem all my life. So the other thing that really floats my boat, besides my family and the people I love, is I have a 2011 Camaro Super Sports convertible. It's my bucket list car. And I get in it, and I put my top down, even if I feel like I have to have a mask on, and I turn up my 50s, 60s, and 70s music and sing at the top of my lungs. I don't care where I am. I don't care if I'm at a red light. Most of the time, people beep at me and wave and give me a thumbs up and everything. You know, it's like everybody's like, oh, yeah, we've been there before. Have fun, lady. So it lightens my load. It brings me back to a heart that isn't so heavy, a mind that isn't so full, and a place that is a lot more desirable. You need to be able to find that for yourselves. You need to be able to decide what can bring you to that place. I know a lot of people who love to dance. I like to dance too. That's another thing that always makes me feel better, and the exercise is great for me. Or the people who like to play golf. I have an older friend. He's married to one of my best girlfriends, and he's a cancer survivor. He's also a Wall Street survivor, which is another biggie. And he's struggling a little bit. He's, I think, a year older than I am. And very physically fit, plays golf every day, every day. He's wonderful. And yet, his life isn't anything like it used to be. A high roller, they flew all over, did all kinds of stuff. They've been every place you can possibly imagine. And first, he had a cancer scare, and then my girlfriend did. So now they're kind of homebound. Really homebound now that all of this has taken place. She called me the other day and she said, you're not going to believe this. There's one golf course open in, I can't even remember where she told me now. It's in the middle of the state. And I said, oh, I know where that is. That's a pretty little town. She says, yeah, they have a golf course. So he's driving up there every day to play two rounds of golf. And I said, you mean like, as in, like, what is that, 18 and 18, like 36 holes of golf? And she said, yeah. I said, that's amazing. That's amazing. But you know what? He's a happy camper. He's a happy camper. And then when he gets home, he'll load up my girlfriend. They go for a ride. He spends time with her. They get curb service. They don't cook a lot, so they get curb service from their favorite restaurant. As a matter of fact, when this first began, I think it was like our second week in quarantine, they called me and said, "We're coming over. John's going to beep the horn and come out and meet us." And I said, "Okay." They brought me a whole lobster dinner from their country club. And I was like blown away, just blown away. So everybody does something different to help them get through this. Now, let's put ourselves in the bad place, in the really scary place during this virus. The place that you have a loved one who is in the hospital. You can't go see them. You can't be with them. I mean, now, thank God, we have FaceTime on the phones and we have a lot of different things. I can remember when my children were born. Little kids weren't allowed in the hospital if you had a baby back in the 60s and 70s and before that. And my last child, I was in there for quite a while, like especially by today's standards, like 4 days. And I couldn't see my other three kids. So my husband used to bring them to the window of the hospital. And I could talk to them through the screen. So same thing now. I have an older friend whose mom is very old, and she's been put in a senior citizen home, which he loved. He was happy about it. They had to shop around a little bit. But now he's not allowed to go see her. And she has a touch of, memory loss and Alzheimer's and things like that. So he's concerned about her confusion. And I said to him, "See if you can't get FaceTime." A lot of those kind of places, senior citizen places, because the guests don't care whether they have internet or not, because most of them aren't on computers. Although I can't imagine, well, he finally did accomplish it. In the beginning, they told him that they didn't have access. And I said, "I think you just need to, stand by your guns there for a few minutes, because they have computers. No doctor walks into a room anymore without a computer in their hand or an iPhone, so that they can keep notes on you. So I don't believe that they can't do FaceTime." So eventually he did get some FaceTime with her. And I see now on the television and on Facebook and all those places that there is a lot of people that are having contact with their loved ones on FaceTime, which is a wonderful thing. So now let's talk about that for a minute. Let's talk about what's happening to our permanently sequestered families and people, the elderly, the chronically ill, hospice. I don't even know what's going on in hospice. I've volunteered many times for hospice, and I've been in hospice many times, and hospice helped me a lot when I lost my husband, Spike. It's kind of a, it's kind of a good thing to know that we have those places, but it's pretty sad nonetheless. It's pretty sad that now that they're there, nobody can visit them. And what I know from experience is the patient very often is oblivious and doesn't care. It's you that cares, and it's you that struggles with not being able to see them. So let's, for one of our things tonight, the Serenity Prayer, which is one of the most amazing prayers I've ever read, ever believed in. And that's, the power to change the things we can, and the intellectual capacity to know the difference. And not always so easy. Not always so easy. A lot of times it's a lot harder to manifest that kind of a feeling where you can just say, oh, no worries. Grandma doesn't even know I'm not there. So she's fine. Well, I would say that to myself a few times, of course. Would it change anything? More than likely not. My grandchildren at this particular point in time, even though I'm pretty healthy, I don't have any issues going on with me. I'm pretty strong still. And I do a lot. But they worry about me, you know, because everybody's talking about, well, the old people are the ones that are going to be in trouble with this, and the old people this, and the old people that. And I'm like, I said to all of them, I think they're talking about the old people that just, you know, have given up. And that's not true for me. I haven't given up. I really, really haven't given up. So let's talk about a couple other things that can help you with the anxiety. Music, reading. And, you know, I say this all the time. Back when Shelley was on the show all the time, when we first started this show way back in the, I don't know, 2011, I think I started this show. We talked about keeping yourself in a good place and being able to, you know, pick yourself up and dust yourself off and get yourself to your happy place. And we're both music lovers, so we talked about music. But one of the things in the most traumatic times of my life, and there's been a few, I've written. I have a children's book that I wrote that I haven't published or anything. I keep saying I'm going to and never find the time. But it's a kid's book about bullying. If you've ever listened to the show before, you know that a lot of bullying in this world. And, of course, my grandson, the one who just recently had the baby girl, and he's happy now and things are okay with him and he survived, was set on fire. And when he was set on fire, it was by schoolmates. One of them had been a lifelong friend. The other two were newer friends. But I, to this day, don't believe that what happened that day was planned. It was just 15-year-old boys who are not the sharpest pencils in the box. And so I wrote about that as well. But in my kids' book, I wrote about a little star who tries to put all the other stars out so that everybody will make their wish on him. All the little kids that are on Earth will make their wish on him. And because he puts all the other stars out, it's not dark enough to even see him. And little kids get taken inside because it's too dark out. So the essence of the story, when I asked my then 7-year-old grandson, what do you think of that? What do you think that means? And he goes, that's easy, Graham. He says, you don't look any better when you make other people look bad. And I was like, wow, absolutely. That's exactly what I was talking about. And he got it probably quicker than any other adults will get it. So writing, telling stories, make them up, let them be true. I also started a story of my life, and it was so therapeutic for me, so, so therapeutic for me. I did lots of reminiscing. I did lots of walks down memory lane, things that were wonderful, things that were scary, things that were sad. And work through them. It was so good for me. So, so good for me. So I might suggest that as well. I might say to you that that would be a big help to you during this time. Journaling. Maybe remember an episode in your life. Let's go to something that can be memorable and amazing, or can be, oh my God, what was I thinking? Kind of a day. Let's go to your first boyfriend or your first girlfriend, and all the different things that happened, and how devastated you were about this, and how devastated you were about that, and now you just smile to yourself and think to yourself, what was I thinking? Those kind of memories are good for you right now. I've recently been in touch with a boy that I was in sixth grade, and we hadn't seen each other since we were probably 15, and now we're both 70. Well, I think he's a little bit older than me. I'm 71, and he's probably 71 right now. Or no, he might be 72. I'll be 72 this year, so he's already 72. So we hooked up again. He came up here to Palm Beach, and I met his wife, and he met my husband, and it was wonderful. It was like no time had passed. Those kind of memories are good for you right now also. Another thing that I might suggest is when you're cleaning up the house, which I hear from a lot of people, that's what they're doing, may I suggest that you look at old pictures. Now, old pictures can do lots of things to us. They can make us reminisce. They can make us smile. They can also make us cry. And I want to tell you that when you're really anxious and when you're really, really depressed, crying's a good thing. And my suggestion is you go with it. If you feel like letting go and crying, you should. By all means, you should. And I think that most of us, I mean, you don't need to, you know, make a big deal of it. You don't need to make sure somebody's recording you while you sob. You just need to do it. And sometimes you should do it when you're in a real safe place, if you're that kind of a person that doesn't want anybody to see you with your hair down. I tend to be a little bit like that. I always think nobody expects me to cry because I'm always large and in charge. So I always think, you know, people think I'm not going to cry. But yes. And I think that sometimes crying is one of the best things you can do. Some of the very, very best things you can do. But I also think that you need to choose the right place and be in the right place in that moment so that you also have your privacy in case that is needed. So what have we come up with? We've come up with doing something that really floats your boat, like me with my top down, singing at the top of my lungs and not caring who likes it and who doesn't like it. Dancing, journaling. Think back of an old memory and write down bits and pieces of it just so that you can really recollect a wonderful memory that, you know, sometimes we can go back as far as when we were toddlers if we try hard enough and really search. I have a memory. I believe I was not quite 3, and they had to have my tonsils removed. And I don't remember any of that, but I do remember pulling up in front of my grandma's and grandpa's house with my dad and my mom. And my grandfather, whom I loved so much, came out and took me out of the car and carried me into the backyard, into my jump seat underneath a cherry blossom tree. And I can still visually remember looking up into that cherry blossom tree and just having him sitting there smoking his pipe in a chair beside me while I bounced up and down in my little jump chair. Now, And I'm sure there's some people that are rolling their eyes thinking, I can't remember anything like that. I don't believe she really remembers that. Somebody told her about it. I don't care. If they did tell me about it, whoever you were, thank you. Because for me now, it brings me great comfort. I can conjure that up very, very easily and remember it. And sometimes if I'm really in the right place, I can even remember what the weather was like. Obviously, spring and very beautiful and a little bit of a breeze. It's a great memory. I've sat with many people in hospice, too, by the way. And in hospice, you know, a lot of times by the time somebody's in hospice, they're not cognitive. They're just resting. And I believe that, you know, that can happen. And I know that to happen because I've seen that with my own eyes. But having said that, still talking about those kind of things with somebody you love, I think is good. And may even come back to them later. I don't know. Over question it because I choose to believe it. So let's try to get through this together. Let's try to be in the kind of a place where we all look out for each other. Let's try to be in a place where we talk openly and share the things that bring us closer because we find out how much alike we all are. And I think it would be a good idea if everybody practiced forgiveness, one of the hardest things to give is forgiveness. So learning how to give forgiveness, putting in yourself in such a powerful place, by the way, because when you forgive somebody, that's a very powerful place. And remember that when you forgive somebody, you're not just helping them, you're helping yourself. So I'm sorry that I didn't make plans to have a couple other people call in. I was kind of looking forward to spending one-on-one time with Gary. I'm disappointed that he was unable to join us tonight, maybe another time. But I'm going to cut the show short. I don't want you being bored to death by me. But I do want you to know that you can contact me on Facebook. Let me know if you need to talk. I'd be more than happy to give you my cell phone number if you need to talk to somebody. I have lots of people that call me on a regular basis if they just need somebody to listen. And right now, I'm sure there's a lot of you out there that need somebody to listen. So I am here. And I will listen. So everybody, try to make the best out of what we got going on. Be forgiving. Forgive the people that seem to be angry when you're in the store and yell at you. Somebody just did to me the other day. And At first I felt hurt because I don't like to be yelled at. Then I was a little bit angry. And then I looked at her and she was in such a tizzy. And she was so disheveled. And I thought to myself, you know, poor thing. I hope she makes it through this. So, and the same for all the rest of you. God bless you. Do what you need to do to keep yourself in a good place. Don't sink into the abyss. Keep reaching up and keep looking for better ways to keep yourselves in a good place. We will make it through this. We will. God bless everybody. We'll be back next Saturday. Somebody just called in. Let me see who it is. Welcome to Renee's Heart to Heart.
It's Gary.
Hi.
Hello.
It's who?
Gary.
Who is it?
Oh,
it is Gary. I thought it was you, and then I thought you said Billy. I was going to say Billy.
Oh, no.
I gave up on you. Are you good, honey?
No, I kept on calling, but it kept on saying it was busy. So.
Oh, well, that's kind of strange. Sometimes I have as many as six callers, and I didn't invite anybody else tonight but you, so that's weird. But it could have something to do with everything else that's going on in the world. So let me ask you something. I've just given everybody my survival kit during a time like this, but the reason I really wanted you to be on is because you and I are pretty much total opposites. I'm a grandmother, a great-grandmother. I always have a house full of people. I am never alone. Things are totally different for me. So I would really like, I know there's millions of people out there that are like you and millions that are like me. So maybe you can give them the other side of the story. How are you surviving, Gary?
I'm managing. I recently moved in October, so it's making it even harder because I haven't really had a job. I had a job for like a month, but then this virus thing happened, so I had to kind of put in a leave of absence. But I'm going to attempt to try to go back tomorrow. But yeah, it's just, I mean, when I'm around people, I feel like I feel alive. And then when I'm not around people, it's kind of like I start going crazy. I'm like a people person. I need to be around people. So, it's just one of those things where I have to take a chance. And I mean, plus, I mean, you have to work to kind of make ends meet, kind of getting to that point where I have to kind of go back just to make it.
So let me ask you something. Is there a reason why you might not be able to go back?
Is there a reason not to go back? Well, my partner has COPD.
Okay.
Oh, so
yeah, that's not good.
That's been a big issue with everything. Like, I'm afraid because I work at, you know, Walmart and, you know, exposed to hundreds of people a day. So the fear is going there and, you know, catching something, bringing it home and, you know, the ending would not be good. So that's where it comes.
Well, I understand the fear there. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Well, what about your unemployment? Will they fire you and let you collect unemployment?
Walmart? I just started. I was only there for a month before I had to take a leave of absence.
Okay.
So I don't really qualify for anything. But they did give you the option to kind of put in a leave of absence for as long as you need to. So, I did like a leave of absence for a month and a half, but now it's kind of getting and where we live, we have really low like cases. I think we only have like 50 cases in this area.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, it's one of the safest places to be. Not that I want everybody to come down here, but I know a couple of friends from the Bully Project came down recently. Just to get away from New York. And they're staying here until the end of May. So
where are you exactly?
I'm in Las Cruces, New Mexico.
In New Mexico. Okay. I have a very close girlfriend that is thinking about moving to Santa Fe. Because she's got a daughter and a granddaughter that live there. That's a long ways away, you guys. That's a long ways away from here.
Yeah.
Their
numbers are pretty high. They're kind of building up now. So it's a little risky up there to Albuquerque and Santa Fe. But, yeah, I don't know.
Well, what are you doing to make sure that you don't catch it? My story is personal hygiene is what this is all about. I keep telling all my kids, everybody, every day I mean, you should be doing this anyway, but I know a lot of people don't because they don't even think about it. You should be washing your hands every time you do anything, and you should be taking a shower every day, and you should be washing your hair, and you should be changing your clothes, and you should be making your bed, and you should be, you know, all this stuff. It's really up to you. You have to keep your personal hygiene right up there. If you have issues, if you have health issues, then you have to be smart. I mean, I saw somebody in the store the other day. They could, I'm sure she wasn't as old as I am, but she could barely walk. She had a walker. She didn't have a mask on. She didn't have anything on. How she got out all by herself, I don't know. But it broke my heart because I thought to myself, unless she's suicidal, you know, what the hell is she doing? But people like that, they need, you know, we need to start watching out for those people because a lot of them don't know any better. Gary, they really don't. But I see that a lot here. This, you know, we refer to Palm Beach as God's waiting room, you know?
Yes. Sad, but true.
Have you seen the pictures of our beautiful grandbaby, Michael's baby?
Oh, yeah.
On Facebook?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always following the Facebook. I don't really post that much anymore. But...
Mm-hmm. Well, my sister wanted me to make sure I said hello to you, my sister Patty.
Oh, yeah, Patty. Yay, Patty.
You remember Patty?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I know you all.
Yeah. I know you do. I know you do. And, of course, Valerie, Mike's mom, she's in a tough spot because she's the switchboard operator for St. Mary's Hospital. It's one of the biggest hospitals in Palm Beach County. And she's pretty much quarantined at home, but she goes to work every day. She's in a private room, the switchboard room, but, you know, you never know. So she comes, and she's got all those other grandchildren that live over there with her, four of them. And the youngest one is the one that is partially disabled. So she, you know, she called me today and she says, Mom, I kind of like got a cough, but it's phlegmy. And I said, does it feel like somebody's squeezing your chest? And she said, no. And I said, do you have a temperature? And she said, no. And I said, just keep doing the, I have a cousin who makes us these little inhalers that are just made out of natural stuff for like hay fever and stuff like that. And she's using that and just keeping herself in a good place. I said, well, that's the best thing you can do. So,
yeah.
So how are you surviving, though, the anxiety? That's really what I want to know, because I know you've suffered with that before. How are you surviving the anxiety with all this crap going on?
I mean, we're paranoid. I mean, we go, you know, just going to the store, it feels like you're going to a cheap bar, and we get home and we shower and everything we touch. I mean, all the groceries, we dip in the sink and wash them all off. I mean, the labels on our cans are falling off because we're washing everything now, which we never really thought about doing before, but we're just being extra.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, there was a reason for that because I was at the store a couple weeks ago, and this guy was just looking over the meat, and he's coughing right at the meat, and I'm thinking, my God, dude.
Oh, geez.
All I thought was, I'm washing everything.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah.
Well,
I don't
blame
know.
You for that.
It's scary. Yeah.
Okay. Well, but is there any? Do you have any special things that you do that keep you in a better place? Like I was talking about me, driving my convertible with the top down, singing my music and everything. Those are all stress relievers for me, and I do a lot of them. Is there anything you do that you could pass on to somebody who's maybe all by themselves and doesn't have somebody else to talk to and you know, is in that strange place? You got any ideas on what we could share with them?
A couple things I've done, which I've never done before, is like go on chat lines. I mean, go online and go to chat rooms and stuff. Just having that interaction with people is kind of fun.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you don't know these people, but it's just fun to like interact with people that way. And then
right.
I also been doing the audio books, which I'm not a good reader, but I could just like listen to books while I'm outside in the yard working. So yeah, I've done a lot of yard work. This house is spectacular because we had all this time off, so Yeah, I've been painting the house, weeding the yard. I mean, the house is, when everybody drives by and they slow down because it's like, I got too much time on my
hands.
Oh,
cool.
So, yeah, I'm
That's
a busy
kind of a
body.
good
I got
thing,
to keep
though.
moving. Yeah, as long as I keep moving, it keeps my mind off of stuff. And I don't, and I try to avoid TV now. I'm just like, just forget about it. I'll watch it for like 5 minutes just to kind of get an idea of what's happening, but then it's off for the rest of the day. I'm like, no, TV. Yeah, I don't want to hear
so
the news.
So you think
news.
That's something
wanna...
that we should, do you think we should advise people to not watch the TV if it takes that kind of a toll on them?
I think limit it, because I notice the longer I'm watching it, the more anxiety I get, the more panicky I get. But if I just do like 5 minutes,
right.
Okay, it seems to, you know, just to get an idea of what's happening and if there's any new, you know, any changes or anything. But, I mean, it's,
right.
And I'm not trying to, and I know it's going to get bad again. I mean, with everybody opening up again, I don't think we're ready for it. But, I mean, we just have to be prepared for that. I think it's too soon. But I understand, like, everybody's got to, like, get back to living, too. So the only thing I hope is, like, just everybody's taking more precautions now.
Well, I think so. I think so. I mean,
yeah.
I and, of course, I hope so, and I think so. But I also feel like we just have to be – see, nobody – what scares me – is all these very I'm large and in charge people that we have running the show, nobody, and I mean nobody, wants to take a stand and say, absolutely, we should open up tomorrow. Nobody says that.
Yeah.
They want to leave it up to somebody else. Let somebody else be the jerk. That scares me, Gary. That scares me.
Well, yeah, so if it backfires, then they don't have to take responsibility, which, I mean, yeah, I know. I don't know. I mean, that I don't want to think about the politics of everything. It just adds on to everything. I mean, the only thing you could do is take care of yourself. Do what you got to do to make sure you're taken care of. And, like, if I got to wear a mask at work, I'm going to wear a mask. I wear long-sleeve shirts. I know it's ridiculous, but I just cover my own entire body when I'm at work because I just feel more safe and more comfortable.
Did I see a picture of you with a full head of hair?
Oh yeah. Yeah, it's coming.
What happened
it
there?
it's coming back. Less stress.
That's awesome.
Now with all this happening.
That is. Oh, well, let's don't put that energy into that. That's awesome. I said to Patty, I said, you know, I just saw a picture of him with a full head of hair. And she said, really?
Yeah.
And I said, yeah. I'm going to have to ask him about that. That's awesome, honey. That's awesome. Very, very good. And are you still with the dude you married? Are you still with the guy that you got married with on Halloween?
Yeah, that's the one that has the COPD now.
Okay.
So,
well, you know, we haven't talked in a long time, so I thought I better catch up
here
a little bit.
I know. I've just been hiding out for the last couple of years, just kind of.
Yes, you really have been. That's all right. Yeah. Everybody needs to do that once in a while. Well, you know, Patty's husband passed away, so she's had a hell of a time. You know, that's why I've got her up here with me. So, but, you know, it isn't easy. But that's good. I'm glad. So now your game plan is to really try to get back into the work schedule for a couple different reasons. One is monetary. One is sanity. And I'm sure you'll be safe. Is anything else going on with you health-wise besides the alopecia that you always had? Is there any other health issues that you should be worried about?
Not that I know of. I mean, I went to the doctor like last year, and they're like, you're healthy as a horse. Yeah, I sit there and smoke like a chimney. So I'm like, are you sure? I'm always questioning, are you sure? There's got to be something wrong with me. But no, I guess I got my grandfather's genes. He was a really healthy guy. I mean, he smoked, but he lived until 86. So I'm like, I must have got his genes because I don't know. But yeah, if there's anything going on, I don't know about it. So.
Well,
but I stay really active
too. Yeah, that's me too.
Yeah.
Yeah, that means a lot. That means a lot. That's like, Yeah, the kids say that to me. I mean, you know, I've lived longer than anybody in my family except for my grandparents. And even them, I've outlived my mother's side. My paternal grandmother lived to 102, so I haven't beat her yet. But
wow,
I'm quite a bit older than everybody else. I'll be 72 in September, and I'm busy all the time. I retired when I was 62, but part of that was because that's when my husband started getting sick, and that was a long journey. So, and I wouldn't have been able to work and take care of him too. So.
Yeah.
But, you know, you never know. But I stay busy with everything else, and I've been involved with some kids groups. Suicide is a big thing here in Florida. Well, everywhere, but here in Florida it seems to, you know, so many kids get brought here with mommy and daddy and then they leave them. I don't know if you know that about Florida, but that happens a lot. So there's a lot of kids that struggle around here. So I was a part of a group that was helping kids in the schools, and we have a lot of homeless kids that still go to school, Gary. They come in off the street, and a lot of your public schools are set up now with laundry rooms, and they recycle used clothing for the kids and everything. Times
nice.
Have changed, and I think even though it's sad, it's a lot for the better, right? To have
yeah.
know that they're being taken care of, and they have an opportunity
yeah.
to still used to be, I've signed papers to be the you know, the, what do you call them, the I can't even remember what they called me, like a somebody who signed paperwork. I had to go in and sign paperwork for a 16-year-old to get back in school because she didn't know where her mother was and stuff like that. I can't remember what they call you when you do that. But now they don't even need to do that. If the kids want to come to school
wow.
and they show up every day, they let them keep coming without any kind of, you know, I don't know why I can't think of that word. No mother or father, but I don't mean those words. But that's a good thing.
Not like a guardianship.
Yeah, it's like a guardianship. But I think there's still another word for it. But it is like a guardianship. Because I don't have to do anything
yeah.
else for them. I just like if something were to happen to them, I'd be the one that they called, and I'd be wherever they were, you know, if they got in trouble, if they got sick or something like that, I would help with that. And I've done
okay.
that a few times. But like I said, now they don't even need to do that. The teacher takes that place, I guess, and calls the right authorities, which is a pretty big step in our environment here in South Florida. So,
yeah, that's excellent.
And what about your
awesome.
your son?
No, he's doing
what
good.
Patrick,
he got married.
Right?
Yeah, he got
oh, wow.
married. His I don't want to say too much, but his wife is having, well, legal issues in the sense of she's from
oh.
Mexico. But in
oh,
3
geez.
Months, that's all going to, yeah, in 3 months, that's all going to be resolved. We paid the lawyers and they're working on it. And so in 3 months, because he can't come down and see us because of the, you know, Border Patrol and everything, or they're
yeah.
afraid of getting stopped.
Mm-hmm.
So in 3 months,
oh,
yeah,
boy.
I mean, we're just waiting for the final paperwork to go through, and then they'll be able to come
mm-hmm.
down here, and they're thinking about moving down here. So, yeah, he's doing
oh, that
really
would be
good,
nice.
Though. I mean, yeah.
How old is he now, honey? How old is he now?
That's a good question. 23.
Geez, Dad.
22, 23. I know, 23 or 20. I think he's 23. Yeah.
Okay. Well, we're out of time. I've got some 23-year-olds here, too, that are grandchildren. And matter of fact, we're having a party for one of them who's turning 23 this weekend. So I'm so glad that you got through so that we could chat and catch up. I think I'm hoping that this picks up. I mean, when I did it Saturday night, I had a lot of listeners, but nobody wanted to talk. I think everybody is right at the edge of their rope, so to speak. So a lot of them, you know, they can't talk. They get lumps in their throat. They're so filled with anxiety. So,
yeah.
Like I said, everybody, if you want to touch base with me, contact me on Facebook, Renee Brewer. You can get a hold of me. I will give you my cell phone number if you need to talk. And we are here for you. And don't give up the ship. Eventually, even though it doesn't seem like it, eventually this too shall pass. God bless.
It will.
Thank you, Gary. It was wonderful talking to you again, honey bunch.
Thank you. Okay, I'll talk to you later.
All right. Bye-bye, honey.
All right. Bye-bye.